Hello, spiritual baddies, entrepreneurs, and everyone in between.
You're listening to the Embodiment Podcast, where we dig into who you are behind closed doors.
And even if you aren't an entrepreneur or on your spiritual journey, but you're looking for something to listen to while you're on the treadmill,
or on the road, or just looking for some new knowledge to gain, welcome.
I'm your co-host, Ashley Fry.
And I'm Manote Series.
How's it going?
Honestly, pretty busy day. Pretty busy day today. I know it's been busy for you too.
Yeah. It is one of those weeks.
It's one of those weeks where it gets really busy and then you just wonder, like, your whole life comes to question. You're like, do I even know what I'm doing? Like, do I have the knowledge?
I have that thought about once a day.
I have that thought constantly too. It's like, always, am I good enough? Like, do I need to be doing more?
Yeah. So what are we talking about today? What are we focused on? What is our niche of our conversation today?
Today we are talking.
I got so quiet there. I'm sorry. I need to not do that.
Like, yo,
sup, shoddy?
Sup, shoddy?
What's guaning?
Wait, I'm literally. Yeah, no. So what's guaning is right, is correct. Essentially what's happening is we're saying what's guaning to our emotions because we are talking about limiting beliefs. And I love this topic because I think it also relates to imposter syndrome. And I feel like we all have imposter syndrome. We all go through it. So it's like, I think it's a appropriate topic, especially now where me and Ashley are like, we're going through so many changes and so many evolutions that it's like always like in the lingering in our mind, like, are we good enough? Like, can we do this?
I think especially when you transition from being a teenager into an adult and you're in the midst of that, I feel like, you know what? Not just that. I feel like your 20s in general can be very much, you could be questioning yourself the whole time, right? And I think that's also, I'm not going to say right or you know what I mean today, okay?
Okay.
Call me out if I say either of those because I got called out on another Zoom call and I don't want to ramble. I don't want to ramble and put filler words in like that. Anyways, I believe that as you hit your 20s and you start to learn more about yourself and more about other people, I don't know, it can be very stressful. It can be very, what am I doing? Am I doing the right thing? Is there something else out there that's for me? Because there are a lot of people who find their passion and they roll with it and they are set for life because of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said right. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
That's what I was looking at. I was like,
wow. Mm-hmm. Anyways, chat.
Anyways, so. Yeah. But no, I was going to say like.
So. Go.
No, you finish your thought.
No, go.
No, you finish. I was literally going to go on a tangent.
Oh my God. Go on a tangent. I want to hear the tangent.
My tangent, guys, when I go on tangents, it's pretty insane. But like, I always talk about this, about limiting beliefs, and not even just limiting beliefs, but imposter syndrome, because I feel like it's so real. And when, like, I go through this maybe like 25 times a day, I'll be sitting in calls with like these huge, huge people who like are super successful, like these gigantic, like bigger than life people. And I'm like, how the hell am I in the same call as this person right now? And like, it's just like, oh my God, I even talked on a call. Oh, that was a good transition there. It went right on. You look like a baddie. Sorry.
That came out of nowhere. I had to mute really quickly. So it wasn't just sneeze in the mic.
No, don't worry. You're good. But yeah, I don't know. I just feel like sometimes when you're in calls with like these huge, bigger than life people, it gets, you just sit there and you're like, wow, how did I get here? Do I deserve to be here? Like, Am I pulling my weight enough to deserve it? Like, do I deserve this? I feel like that's a big one I got. And I was on a call with the team, with the startup team, and we were talking, and then we were like going over like the trajectory and the future and whatever.
Yeah.
And one of the things was like, yo, this is what's happening now. And like, we all need to grow as a result of it, and we need to grow fast. So like, guys, get ready because it's going to be really hectic. And I was like, oh my God, like this is a recipe for imposter syndrome. So I jumped in. I'm like, guys, just remember, because I know we're all feeling imposter syndrome right now, but it only can affect you if you let it take over your mind, right? Yeah. Like that's the only way. So it's always reframing that and saying, okay, you know what? Even if I do have imposter syndrome, I'm not going to let it control the narrative of my life. I know that, sure, I'm with these gigantic, bigger than life people and, you know, I'm in the same rooms as them, but I deserve to be here because I was here from the beginning, whatever it may be, but you do deserve to be here if you were there. The universe works in mysterious ways. If you're there, the universe put you there. So I just like to dispel that and be like, no, I am good. I'm great. I'm amazing.
Yeah.
I'm mano fucking series. Emmanuel.
Yes, you fucking are. And I think so. Imposter syndrome and limiting beliefs can be interchangeable in some senses. Whereas, like, limiting beliefs on its own is something that can or that is engraved in almost the wiring of your brain. And that is like a viewpoint, a value, something that can not just be prominent in your personal view of yourself or your ability, but it can be prominent in kind of any aspect of your life, right? And so, yeah, it's the difference between imposter syndrome, which is very prominent in your self-view and in your personal... Sorry, my computer. I'm going to turn that off. But that becomes very prominent in your self-view, your personality, your personal abilities, whereas limiting beliefs can be applied to anything that is present in your life. Financials. Again, like your personal abilities, that's where they kind of intertwine. The world. Some people have a terrible view on the world and they only think it's bad or there are bad things out there and bad people out there, which is not true, right? And the more that you fixate on the bad, more bad is going to show up. It's like that saying, if you focus on you, you grow. If you focus on shit, shit grows. So the more that you focus on the outer world, the more that those problems are going to become bigger in your head and bigger in your life because you've been focusing on them versus focusing on the things that may help you or may change you or may put you forward. And yeah, so let's go back to what limiting beliefs are exactly. Do you have like a definition or like how I kind of like said one already, but is there any, when you think of limiting beliefs, what pops into your head?
Anything that holds you back or makes you doubt your own abilities. That's kind of how I immediately, when I think of limiting beliefs, I think of like just that, like anything that pops into my mind that stops me or makes me rethink or overthink something, like in a bad way, like, can I do this? Like that's a limiting belief. And like immediately when I realize that, I'm like, oh my God, okay, I need to refix my framing of mind because the universe attracts like energies, and if I'm putting out that I'm not good enough, the universe is going to give me something that's not good enough.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's like the best definition, but like that's just the way I kind of frame it.
No, and that's fair. And that also put into my head when we did the podcast episode with Mr. P. Fry, my father.
Yes.
He told us the story about the flea in the jar, right? And I think that's the perfect, right? Fuck. I think that's the perfect example of how limiting beliefs can shape your life and how they can come from the outside and not just from the inside. Because say you have a flea in a jar, I don't even know how high a flea can jump on its own. It's like a million times its body mass, body height, whatever you want to call it, whatever the proper term is. But if you put a flea in a jar, it's still going to jump out, right? You put a lid on that jar, it's going to keep, like, it's going to believe that it can only jump that high and it's going to keep jumping that high. You take that lid off, it's going to stop where it was jumping before because it doesn't see above the lid. It doesn't see above those limiting beliefs. And so it believes that that is the highest it can jump and it's going to keep doing that. So that is, again, I think the perfect example of how limiting beliefs are rewired into ourselves by out like external factors, or I think limiting beliefs can be passed down just like anything else, right? Like beliefs in anything can be passed down, whether it's your beliefs about, let's talk about politics, right? That's a big one passed down in family. I lack a strong, I'd say, perspective or opinion on politics because I just never really focused on it. And my parents were never really political people, or they would like give me little bits here and there, but it was never really a big topic in our household. And I'd kind of just get information from other people. But that's, again, like, that is an example of how beliefs can get passed down through generations.
I like, I love that story, especially the flea example. Cause I remember when your dad said that, I was like, that is such a great example. But there's
simple, but so real. Right.
Yeah. It's so simple. And it's like, obviously it's abstract, like, you know, but like, it just shows you, it gives you an example, like, wow, a flea can jump extremely high, but like the fact that it just stops after a few times. So a real life example, like a real life is, I think it was like back in the 1900s sometime, or probably, I'm probably wrong, but there was the world limit, or like it was thought to be impossible to run the 100 meters or like the 300 meters or something in a minute. And or it was like 100 meters in a minute or something. And everyone was like, it's impossible, you can't do it. Until one guy did it. Mm-hmm. And after he did it, a couple years later, three more people beat it. And then now to this day, thousands of people are beating that record. Because after that one person proved that it was possible, all those other people started acting that way, and they beat it.
And that's also another show for how the external environment can influence our beliefs so much, because if someone hasn't done it before, it can be very, very hard for people to believe that it's possible. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I tried to
remember. No, I was going to say.
Oops. 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 But yeah, so it just, that's a really good show for that, because there are so many things in this world that haven't been done. We just don't know they haven't been done because we only see the things that have been done.
Exactly. And I think that, like, obviously the reframing of the mindset, believing it can, like, that's what we always say, be delulu, believe that you can do literally anything in the world. Yeah. Because, like, by doing that, you can.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think, yeah. I mean, I honestly think it's, like, it's all about energy. Like, everything is energy. And if you move with positive energy, you're going to end up attracting that same energy. So it's like really good to have that in check. And everything has thoughts. What?
What? In what state are you at your highest vibration?
In what
state? Or what is the highest vibration?
Isn't it when you're in like beta state or something?
I mean, it's a word. It's a word.
You're woke.
It's like, no. Authenticity is the highest vibration you can be at.
Wait, really? I did not know that. Wait, hold on.
Because you're being authentically yourself, and you are, how do I explain this? When you are trying to be other things or other people or mimic other, let's say mannerisms or something along the way, if that is not something that you within yourself know is you, or something that you value, and it's, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? I'm sorry if it's annoying that I'm going to keep calling it out, but I'm going to keep calling it out. Yeah. So if you're not aligned with what's really going on inside of you, then you're going to be using extra energy to align with those things. Whereas if you are aligning yourself with what is authentic in you, if you are following your passion, if you are setting your boundaries where they need to be set for yourself and for your own needs, notice how, like, when you tell someone something, or you do something for yourself, or you accomplish something that you've really wanted to do, but you've pushed to the side for other priorities, you feel this like weight off your shoulders.
Yeah.
It's because you're in that higher vibration of your authenticity and your authentic self. I feel like that's how I would describe it. I've watched videos of people speak about it, people who have studied this for years, who are deeply ingrained, or just spiritual leaders,
yeah,
or study science. And so that's what I got from that information. But
interesting. I like that. And I think that, I guess my way of understanding that, or my way of actually interpreting it, is from past experiences. And like, I realized when I physically, like authentically thought that I couldn't do something, I never did it. So like, in terms of like going to the gym, I'd go to the gym and I'd be like, or I'd work out and I'd be like, okay, but I'm never going to have a six pack. Like, I'm never going to have muscles. I'm never going to blah, blah, blah. I'm never going to do this. I'm never, like, I'd always say that shit. And I'd be like, it's impossible. Like, I'm not about to, whatever. Then what ended up happening was I reframed my mindset. And one day I was like, no, I'm changing. I'm going to do this. I know I can. I did it. And now I'm not going to lie, I have a sexy body and I didn't think that was possible before. I did not think that
was possible. Yes, you do. Go off.
So like, that's what I mean. Like, that's how I, so when you said authentic, like authenticity is your highest vibration, I was like, at first, like, okay, I'm interested about how, and now that you explain that, I'm like, hey, yeah, that clicks. Cause when I was authentically thinking that I was shit and that I was not going to be, you know, have a nice body, whatever, like I didn't. But then I reframed and I was like, no, I'm going to. Yeah. And then I did. It happened.
Yeah. Well, and that reminds me of the quote too. If you think you can, or you think you can't, you're right.
Yeah.
And I said that, but you also, I was listening to the Science and Spirituality podcast the other day, and I think it was just an episode with Kevin Carton speaking himself. I forget which episode it was, because I kind of just like left it on shuffle as I was cleaning my house.
Yeah.
But he was speaking about how when he was kind of on a riff and he was trying to get himself back into doing stuff and being in doing good habits. That's not proper English, but anyways, partaking in good habits. He had this kind of false reality created for himself in his head about going to the gym and needing a six pack and all of that. Whereas his authentic self now does yoga like 3 times a week. He goes to the gym, he does a bit of cardio, and he's happy and healthy and the most, like, that's what he needed for himself. It wasn't the weightlifting and the muscle mass and the six pack, right? So that's just a good show where for some people it is like having that chiseled body and the big muscles. That is us. That is what you need as a person. Whereas some people, they don't want that. They want to do what's the word when you do exercises with just your body weight?
Calisthenics.
Yes. For some people, calisthenics are, sorry, I had a brain fart. But we're not scared to ask questions here.
Yeah.
But yeah, calisthenics, Pilates, yoga, going for runs. Some people love going for runs. Me personally, I hate it. Like, I don't like running. That's just it's not my thing. It never has been. And it's something that I could definitely try. And I had the urge to go for a run the other day. Didn't end up going because I had other things come up. But maybe it's going to be something that I try out. And maybe it's going to be something that I realize is good for me and I enjoy doing. So
there's a podcast episode on a run. guys!
I just think, again, going back to authenticity, it could take 10, 15 tries to figure out what is authentically yours and what you need. And that can be prevalent in relationships, in anything, in money managing, in morning routine, in habits, in journaling. Sometimes journaling isn't the best for people. For me, I found out that it was something that healed my soul in so many ways and actually gave me an outlet to figure out my emotions properly. because I guess I'm just the type of person who's always up in the clouds with my emotions. And if I don't write it down, then I never fully understand how I actually feel. So it's a good thing, I think, if you are still testing things out and trying different things at the gym, keep trying different things. Keep trying those different hobbies. Try painting, try drawing, try reading, try going for runs, try going and doing yoga outside, try going to the gym, try do that yoga class, do that Pilates class, do that Zumba class. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I stuttered because I almost, like, I didn't want to let it out, but it came out.
But we should have a tally at the end of how many times you said, but no, it's fine. Because I also do the same thing. I would say, like, right, oh, so I can't say shit. But
we need to upgrade our delivery.
Yes. Our podcast hosting abilities. And that's only going to come with obviously speaking more and actually getting in public, which, by the way, stay tuned, because me and Ashley are going to put ourselves out of our comfort zone. I think that to relate this topic back to our own podcast, I think to some degree, we do have some sort of like limiting belief where it's like, is the podcast going to blow up like we want it to? Like, do we know what we're doing? Do we have enough time? Do we have enough resources? And I think that's the limiting belief in terms of the podcast at this point.
Yeah.
But I think literally just dispelling it is like, when you were talking about journaling, I actually think that's a really good segue, because I think that everyone, when you write a gratitude journal, you have a gratitude journal and you show gratefulness for something.
Mm-hmm.
You not only do you subconsciously realize, like, wow, I have so much going for me. Like, I am so good. I have so much in my life. Like, I should be happy, because when you're happier, you're more grateful. Right. And when you write it down, your subconscious mind takes note. It's like, hey, and then the universe also is like, they're grateful for what I've given them. I'm going to give them more.
Yeah.
So I think everyone should have a gratitude journal. I can't really say like, you need to go get one now, because I also have been off it, which is fine. Right. Sometimes you get off and you write a journal, but like sometimes you just don't have enough time to continue it, or you're just really busy and life gets in the way, and it's completely fine. Right. It's just
for some people, it might be you writing in your notes too. It doesn't need to be a physical journal. Some people don't like writing down on paper. And I find that with a lot of people with like notes and stuff at school, some people need to write it down on paper. For me, I realize that writing it down on paper, yes, it's good for me in some senses, but I always lose track of those notebooks, and I always end up having too many notebooks. So having my iPad and having a folder with where I can open new documents and put my notes in there and like divide it by classes, that works so much better for me. So some people just, same thing with journaling. If you do better on your computer or on your phone, whether it's a Word document, pages, notes, or you get a journaling app, or if you are better with a physical journal or a guided journal, it really doesn't matter, as long as you try out different things and find something that is good for you.
Exactly. I mean, everyone's different. That's the thing, right? So it's like, I'm like you. I cannot do paper. I cannot. I write on paper and I lose it. And I'm like, so it's.
But I'm, well, and I for so long, I believed that I had to write on paper. I believe that's the only way I could remember. Yeah. And I think it's just rewriting things for me, not sticking to paper, right? Because I don't want to lose it.
Exactly, right? But it's like, it's keeping track also, I'd say. And like, I also think in terms of, going back to limiting beliefs.
No, it's okay. We're going to get off on a few different
changes. Yeah, we're going to go off and come back and go off. But I'm just thinking about it. And I think that like also a big aspect of limiting beliefs is from what other people think of us.
Yeah. And again, external environment.
External environment, right? What you can't control. And like, there's a saying that people say, if you have a problem with me, text me. If you don't have my number, you don't know me well enough to have a problem with me, right? And that is not really limiting belief, but it's kind of the same idea, where it's like, I've realized that most of my limiting beliefs come from other people's opinions, or terms of like, if they are like, oh my God, he's so young. Does he really have the knowledge on these things, right? This, like, why him? Why, like, that's a limit, because it's like, wow, they're projecting that on me. They're like, they don't think I can do it, right? So like,
yeah,
people would think, okay, well, he can't do it, whatever, that's a limiting belief, I can't do it. No. In this case, it's like, no, I'm going to prove to them that I can. And then it's like, that's the shift in terms of what you need to, where you're starting and where you need to go, and then how you progress mm-hmm. through that. It's like, it's a journey, mm-hmm. right? Your limiting beliefs are a journey, and the people that look down upon you or that try to, you know, push you down, you just need to say a big F you to them, and, you know, screw off. Because another story, actually, this is a little more personal, but when I was younger, one of my teachers in elementary school, like, had a parent teacher interview, you know, those horrendous ones where the parents sit there and you're like sitting there like, ooh, God.
Sorry.
No, don't worry.
And that was like a donkey noise.
And so they sat down, and one of my teachers goes, and this was like back in elementary school, like way back. And they go,
yeah,
your son, is at a lower reading level than, most students. Like, he mm-hmm. is whatever. I don't think he's going to need accommodations. He's not good enough for this program. He's not blah, blah, blah. Like, literally, they said this to me sitting in the room. And yeah. He needs a tutor. He needs this. And then for the rest of elementary school, I was on that crutch because I thought so. I thought I was like, I'm incompetent. Like, mm-hmm. I literally thought I was incompetent. I get to high school.
That's crazy.
And I bet you have a similar story because we kind of have similar experiences. But
no, I was going to say that's something I've talked about on here before too.
Yeah, because it's so. But to round it out, when I got to high school, so this was in elementary. When I got to high school, I got into a business class, and I got into the business class, and I was acing every assignment, every test, literally. And only teachers were like, yeah, he's like our best student in like for business. Like, he knows everything. And when that happened, that's when it shifted in my mind. I was like, wait, I'm not dumb. I mm-hmm. am good at something. Yeah. And then that's what basically propelled me to where I am now. If that wasn't for that specific instance, I would probably still be in that same mindset as I was at elementary school.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that the same thing happened to me in grade 5. And I've told you this before, where something happened in class and then my teacher sat me down and they basically told my parents, like, oh, she's not performing. She likes to fool around in class and she's not performing. And so, which also should have been something that signified to someone in my life that I could have ADHD. Side note that just popped into my head, but same thing, if like it shaped my beliefs of my abilities to perform in a classroom. And so for the rest of my academic career in high school, like going from grade 6 to grade 12, and even in like my first and second year of university, I just did what I could to get by. It was never like exceeding expectations for myself in class, because I just kind of, after that, I was like, okay, well, like, I'm never going to be good in, like, academically. I need to figure it out outside of class. And so I always like put myself towards things outside of class and put my time and energy there because of that. And that shaped that belief for me. And then in university, I was like, what the fuck? Like, you're smart. Like, you actually know what you're doing and you can like fixate on a topic and learn a lot about it. Maybe if you don't keep learning about it, then you're going to lose those facts in your head. But there's stuff that always sticks with you, right? Right?
Yeah, right. That's a good, I actually think this quote kind of goes well with that. But like, there's a quote where it starts with confidence, you have won before you have started.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, when you're confident, because both of us and both our experiences, we probably obviously were going through stuff not confident. That's why we were, once we became confident, that's when we were like, okay, it clicked for us. And we were like, we are more than what other people make us out to be.
Did you see what I posted the other day about the quote that I made?
Which one? If you say it back to me, I probably will.
So you're the only person who didn't pay attention to it? No, it's okay. I'm joking. No, so I was going through and I was writing, creating stuff, creating social media content for my dad. And in that, I was doing some research on Instagram and I was looking up some quotes on...
Oh, wait, I did. I responded to your story. I responded to it and I was like, that's a good quote.
No, you didn't. You're lying.
I did. I responded to your Snapchat story.
You're lying.
I did. Go back to your Snapchat. I remember you were literally, I was like, that is such a good quote. And you were like, I made it. And I was like, where did you find it?
No, I was kidding. Don't worry. But yeah, confidence. I was going through different stuff and this popped into my head. Confidence is your master key to every new door.
Yes. Yes. Confidence.
It's the master key. It's what's going to get you into any room.
And it's what's going to close every deal. In every room that you get into with the master key. Which is why me and Ashley were kind of talking the other day too. We were literally talking about like getting more out there. And I feel like getting more out there is going to make us more confident. I mean, we are already confident, but I feel like...
Well, there's always going to be ways to improve that, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, we can talk behind a computer or in front of a camera in my house or wherever, but it's different when you step outside and you're like in front of people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're in public too, it takes an advantage, like the fact that other people are judging me, right? Yeah.
So it's like, supposedly. Yeah.
But who cares? At this point, like...
Let's use that as a segue into this question. Where can limiting beliefs show up in our lives?
I think we went over a little bit as to like our goal experiences with that, but I think obviously in terms of our work, like some people get hired for a job like that they're not qualified for. And they're like, do I even deserve to be here? Oh my God, did I screw anyone else trying to get this job? Like, how will I even do this? Like, that's an example, right? Work, a big one. I'd say it really fits into every little nook and cranny of your life.
Let's narrow it down a little bit, because I feel when I first thought about this question, I was almost a little bit limited in what I could come up with in my head regarding where limiting beliefs can show up, because I think they show up in a lot of different places that we don't realize, like personal, we talked about before, your personal beliefs of yourself, your trust with yourself, your trust in other people, trust in the world, the beliefs about the world, change too is a big one. Because change is applicable to anything, and that's also limiting beliefs are applicable to anything. So your belief in change being able to happen in any part of your life, it's important.
Absolutely. I think what's like a specific example from your life, if you don't mind sharing, of a limiting belief that you've had recently or in the past?
I think living alone. I think being able to support myself completely alone, and also build at the same time. I think that was a limiting belief that I had, and I was kind of struck in the face with. But I also said to myself, I'm just going to have to figure it out. And that's another thing where an example popped into my head. But, oh my goodness, what was it? Talk about like financial. Let's go to financials. A lot of people have limiting beliefs when it comes to their finances. And when it comes to their ability to develop different streams of income and actually make a certain amount of money doing something. And your limiting beliefs will stop you from being able to make that money or being able to afford that thing. And so something that I see around often is a lot of people see something and they say, okay, well, I can't afford that. Okay, I can't pay for that. It's too much. When in reality, if it's something that you want to experience or you value, instead of saying, I can't afford that, shift that to, I'm going to figure out how I can afford that. Or I'm going to make it happen.
For that, baby.
Yeah. No, exactly. But it comes down, like, it's crazy how those limiting beliefs are prevalent in anything. Communication, right? Like, standing up on a stage, talking in front of people. If you're telling yourself, fuck, I can't do this. I'm going to be shaking the whole time. I'm going to be, then yes, the fuck you are. But if you tell yourself, okay, I'm not going to overthink it right now. I'm just going to let myself stay calm. I'm going to let myself prep, go over my lines, go over what I need to, and I'm going to go kill it on stage. You're probably going to go, you might stutter a little bit or a few times, but it won't matter because everything else is flowing and because you believe in yourself.
Instead of worrying about what you cannot control, shift your energy to what you can create.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one. And I think that worrying, even the word worrying, it just is limiting. Because when you're worried, you're more reserved. You're using most of your energy to like shield you against the incoming doom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what worry is. And when you let go of worry, you allow yourself and you allow your mind and soul, your body to expand its reach and mm-hmm. become more than just what you are physically. Like, it's like, that's what I mean. We always talk about energy, but like, it's so important because it's where you put your energy. Like, energy is important, sure, but it's where you put it, right? Are you putting it into worry? Are you putting it into creation? Are you putting it into confidence? Where's your energy going? And how can you make sure that it's being used to your benefit and not being used to dictate some other stream of you know,
consciousness,
rivers, stream of consciousness yeah. that is negatively impacting you?
Yeah. And that also, that puts into my head as well, the idea of limiting beliefs being prevalent in our relationships. And it could be the simplest thing is like people pleasing. Some people think, okay, well, if I'm not doing this, then they're not going to be happy with me, or they're not going to love me the same, or just along those lines. And that's a limiting belief, right? Because yeah. If you're telling yourself and convincing yourself that you have to do these things rather than be these things for people or for yourself, then you're going to lose, you're going to lose sight of what is actually important. You're going to limit yourself because of that. And setting boundaries too. Oh, well, if I don't, or if I set this boundary, they're going to get mad at me or they're going to get angry. Don't limit yourself to doing everything that you need to do for everyone else except yourself.
You're the only one that matters at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Do what suits you, but also keep in mind or be mindful for the people around you.
Yeah.
As long as your actions don't hurt anyone else.
Yeah.
It can only benefit you if yeah. you do them for you.
Yeah. There was another one. Blame. And that is directly related to self-worth, where your limiting beliefs come into play. Holding on to things that have happened in the past and blaming yourself for things directly limit yourself from being able to see yourself for everything that you are and for everything that you do and for everything that you're capable of. Because then you're stuck focusing on that blame and on that feeling bad and damaging your self-worth with that.
I'd also say living in the future, or trying to live in the future and not living in the present, is a big, yeah. big way that limiting beliefs happen. Because mm-hmm. like, just take in, if you're living in the future, you're always trying to anticipate things. You're always trying to win. Like, oh my God, what's going to happen here? Am I ready for it? Oh, and then if you live in the past, you're like, oh, but like, I did this and now I can't get over it. Right? Like, those are the two areas where limiting beliefs, I feel like, sprout a lot
mm-hmm.
if you don't live in the present. Because when you live in the present, you're living in the moment. And it's like, hey, I don't care about what's happening in the future. I don't care what's happening in the past. I care about what I can do now to make sure that I'm doing good now. Because if I do good now, I know I'll be doing good in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
How do you, release limiting beliefs in Europe? Like, what's a way that you do it?
This is something that I'm going to say forever, and I've said 1,000 times on this podcast probably, even though we only have 49 episodes now.
Only?
It starts with... not only, but it starts with awareness. that is always, I think, the first step to anything, to changing habits, to changing your beliefs, to stepping into your honest self, is to be aware and to recognize what beliefs you might have that limit you, or what thought patterns pop into your head because of those beliefs, right? Because limiting beliefs are so ingrained in our brain wiring, because some of them are learned as we're children, some of them come from trauma, some of them come from just experiences that we lived at an early age or in our teen years when we're discovering ourselves. So recognizing them in any aspect of your life first, and then challenging those beliefs with facts, doing research on something, or new experiences. Those, I think, as long as you can say you have a limiting belief about money, you don't think you can afford so-and-so, sit down, see if you can open up that Shopify or drop shipping thing, go get an extra job, maybe start selling something on Amazon. Just, it can't hurt to sit down and do research to open your mind to new things instead of believing that you can't, or you can't afford this, or you can't build that income, or you can't build that wealth. So yeah, number one, recognize your limiting beliefs with introspection and self-questioning. Always question yourself. It won't hurt you to question yourself. It's better to question yourself too much than to, I think, affirm yourself with a certain perspective too much. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't pigeonhole yourself, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't send yourself down a rabbit hole that might not be the best thing for you. Number two, challenge these beliefs with facts, research, or new experiences. Again, go look up that information that you've never had the time to sit down. Start reading books. Go out, sit at coffee shops, meet new people. You learn a lot from putting yourself in different spaces than you're normally in. And it opens your eyes, I think. And that's one thing that I love about being in Toronto, is I grew up in a small town. And I did the same thing many of my days. I wasn't in the city all the time. I would go to the city every once in a while. But when you're in a big city and there's so many different people doing so many different things, it's so easy to see how amazing things can be, and how how just different everyone is, and how many different opportunities there are. And it literally bartending, working at a coffee shop, working at a bookstore, working at Yorkdale. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many different, starting your own business, getting into fashion. It's amazing when you put yourself in different spaces and you do the research and look at different topics, how much you can learn about what you didn't know before. Let's go on to number three. Replace limiting beliefs with empowering ones using positive affirmations. So when it comes to affirmations, this could be something where you start off and you film like a little 2-minute thing of you doing affirmations in the morning. You could listen to Tony Jones, which I love, my ride or die. You could write down a list of them. You could write them on your mirror. You could have ones that you rotate through, so you're not feeling like you're in the same pattern every day. And so maybe it makes you think a little bit differently one day than the other, right? Number four is continually reinforcing those beliefs through like practice and reinforcement, because practice makes things easier. And with any new habit, with any new topic, with any new challenge, it's going to be really hard at first. It's going to feel maybe close to impossible. But that's where challenging yourself and putting yourself in new spaces, and it almost like opens you up when you put yourself in those uncomfortable places. And again, we talk about get comfortable being uncomfortable. If you do not challenge yourself in those ways, then you're limiting yourself to what you are capable of or what you could be capable of, because you never know until you try, right? You never know until you've been doing it for 3 months and you're like, holy fuck, I'm a new person and I love it. Or holy fuck, I've been doing this and I don't like it anymore. And so I want to do something different. But again, you never know until you try and you reinforce it. So I think that would be like the big four steps for releasing old limiting beliefs and also building in new ones. No, me dancing with my left hand.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love the what you said, because I agree with it all. I also say, like, the hardest part of anything is just starting.
Yeah.
I think, like, with this podcast specifically, like, what's so amazing about it is we literally started this in one day because we were all hands on deck. Like, that one day we decided we were doing it, we were, like, all hands on deck. We were like, hey, we're doing it. This is happening. Like whatever. And we went balls to the wall and we made it happen, right? But the hardest part of anything is always starting. And I think creating those new beliefs, those positive hobbies, those positive affirmations, it starts with just starting, like literally going to your mirror. You could just go walk over to your mirror and be like, hey, I am healthy. I am wealthy. I love.
I am rich.
I am that bitch. Hello, baby.
I think I think going along with that is a lot of people think about what it's going to take to start and they fixate on what it's going to take. Whereas if you start, then the what it's going to take is going to come along with it, right? And you're not going to be looking at this, and this all at once. You're going to be like, okay, I'm starting. Now I'm going to hit this. Now I'm going to hit this. Now I'm going to do this. Okay, now I have to go and do this. Okay, now I have to go do this. So it's like, it makes it, once you just get started, it relieves all that anxiety of looking at everything as a big picture, because then you sit down, you write down your vision, okay? But then within that vision, you go and you break everything else down. Okay, what do I need to do for the next week? What do I need to do for the next month? What do I need to do for the next year? What can I do in the future? Should I sit down at the end of every month and review and change things so then I can implement my learnings and my experience into that? There's so many different ways you can attack it as long as you just get started. Sorry, I just really wanted to emphasize what you said because it's very true. And I think a lot of people hold anxiety about that.
I actually think that's a beautiful place to end off, because that was a really positive note. Unless there's anything else you want to touch on before.
I think we hit everything, to be honest.
And let's just take in, I said Alma like three times in that one. we're getting better at it, guys. We are getting better. But so glad to. So glad to have almost reached by this episode. By the time this episode is released, we'll have reached it. 2,000 downloads of embodiment, who you are behind closed doors. That is, it's crazy to think that 2,000.
That means 2,000 times. 2,000 has listened to one of our episodes.
Yeah. Like, has sat through and listened to our voices talk.
2,000, like, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
I mean, that's just the beginning, but that's a lot. If you, like, really think about it.
We're getting on the board. We're getting on the board.
We're on the board.
We're on the board. We're on the board. We will come back to this and we will stitch this back when we are on the board and then show y'all. But yes, we are.
You'll know what we mean when
you'll know what we mean. But we are making it happen, and
that's one thing that we're going to keep as an inside joke for right now.
Yeah, we're on the board. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the show this week. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can write to us at embodimentpod@gmail.com. And if you want to send us a DM, it's @embodiment.pod.
Or if you'd like to follow us or message us personally on Instagram, it's @emmanuelseries and @ashley.fry. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Mano.
And you've been listening to Embodiment, who you are behind closed doors. Thank you guys. Have a beautiful day, babies. And I am so grateful for you.